Amen. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. I'm like the psalmist David when he said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because he is my shepherd, he is my provider. Because he's my shepherd, he is my protector. Because he is my shepherd, he refreshes my life. Because he is my shepherd, I know that he walks with me through valleys as dark as death. But the thing I know is because he is walking with me, I will not be afraid. I know that he is with me. I know that he strengthens me. I know that he gives me just what I need. Even in the midst of my enemies, he watches over me. He fills my cup until it overflows. And I know that his kindness and his love will always be with me each day of my life. And I know this, that I will live forever in his house. All we do is transition from one location to the next, and we be with him. For those of us that have made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration and know that Jesus is the true vine and we are connected to him, he says that I will remain in you and you will remain in me. That's the reason why we can say that we are more than conquerors. That's the reason why we can say that we are victorious. That's why we can say that we are triumphant, because he lives inside of us. Does not mean that we will not have trials and tribulations, storms of life, but it does mean that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13 and 5b. What it lets me know is when I go through the waters, he will bring me through. When I go through the rivers and it seems as though things intensify, the wind seems to blow even stronger, it reminds me that I will not be overwhelmed. And it also lets me know when I go through the fires of life, it seems as though it's going to destroy me. It seems as though it's going to take me under. But his word reassures me that I will come out and not even look like what I've been through, because I am his ambassador. I am his daughter, and many are his sons. And he said that I will be with you. And when God says he's going to be with you, you don't have to worry. You don't have to panic. You don't have to go into an anxiety attack. God is with you. And I want to say to someone this morning, including myself, we have to breathe. We have to inhale and exhale and know that God is walking with us in the midst of persecution, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of sometimes maybe feeling alone. I want to remind somebody this morning that you are not alone, that God is with you. And he's holding your hand. He's holding your hand. He's holding the reins of your mind. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. Amen. Just to encourage you this morning, some words of encouragement that the Lord downloaded to us on today.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Sister Ruby, I didn't think I even remembered those songs the other day.
Yes, yes.
I remember in that land. Amen. That just popped up, came out.
That's old, but that is good. That has meat in it. And for me, it has meat in it, and I just love it.
As you was just talking,
I can't sing and don't know songs, but the one came up with Never Alone.
Yes, yes, Never Alone.
Mm-hmm.
He promised me. Yes, yes. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his promises.
Yes, he does.
Amen. There's nothing that stands in his way. There's no appointment, no place he's getting to, that he keeps his promises to us. I love the song that we used to sing as little children. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Amen. We want to say good morning to all of you that are joining us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls. The time has come for us to open up this morning our time of sharing, our time of praise, our time of worship. And it's just good to be back with my sisters and brothers again on today. Today is Sunday, December the 22nd, 2024. Our message this morning is entitled, God Orchestrating Redemption Through the Birth of King Jesus. God Orchestrating Redemption Through the Birth of King Jesus. The King is born. Our scripture, foundational scripture this morning, will come from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 this morning. Also, I want to give you an additional scripture that we will be touching on. Comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, as well as Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, as well as Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, with our main scripture this morning coming from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And again, our message is entitled, God Orchestrating Redemption Through the Birth of King Jesus. Our opening scripture this morning comes from Psalm 27 that was penned by David. Again, we want to say good morning to each of you that are joining with us on today. Psalm 27 this morning. You, Lord, are the light that keeps me safe. I am not afraid of anyone. You protect me. I have no fears. Brutal people may attack and try to kill me, but they will stumble. Fierce enemies may attack, but they will fall. Armies may surround me, but I won't be afraid. War may break out, but I will trust you. I ask only one thing, Lord. Let me live in your house every day of my life to see how wonderful you are and to pray in your temple. In times of trouble, you will protect me. You will hide me in your tent and keep me safe on top of a mighty rock. You will let me defeat all of my enemies. Then I will celebrate as I enter your tent with animal sacrifices and songs of praise. This morning, we as disciples, children of the King, ambassadors, we can know this morning that the Lord is our life, our light, and he is the one that keeps us safe. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Sister Ruby, if you would please lead us to the throne of grace this morning. We'll come back with our scripture as well as our song this morning. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, Lord, I come this morning with thanksgiving in my heart. I come this morning praising you, God, for what you've done. I come praising you, God, for waking me up this morning. Lord, I praise you for keeping my mind. I praise you this morning because of who you are. Lord, I come in the name of Jesus asking that you forgive me for all my sins. Lord, I come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come lifting up this line to you this morning. I lift up every household that's represented on this line. Lord, you know what we are standing in need of. Some of us have sickness. Some of us have death. Some of us have worration. Lord, this time of year, some of us are just lonesome. We're missing our loved ones. But we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you will be our comforter, that you will be our peace. Lord God, we need you today. We need you every day. But, Lord, as we get to these holiday seasons, don't let us be miserable. Lord God, just touch us. Just breathe on us. Holy Spirit, breathe on us today. I lift up Minister Singleton to you, Lord God. Enlarge her territory. Encamp your angels all around that household. Lord God, whatever she's standing in need of, I ask that you bless her with it. Bless Mother Neal, God, like only you can. Keep Uncle John and Aunt Laura, Lord God. Lord God, take care of Mother Neal. Lord God, have your way on this line today. Lord God, let us receive a word from you. And don't let us just hear it, God, but let us take it out this season and share it with someone, because, God, you are the reason for the season. And for that, we give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Ruby, for taking us to the throne of grace this morning as we give praise and honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. For we thank him for grace. We thank him for mercy. We thank him for faithfulness. We thank him for continuing to take care of us. But most of all, we thank him for using us in a mighty way to carry out and to share the good news with others. Thank you so much. And I see how the Lord continues to strengthen you as well. Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to ask if our sister, Sister Wanda, is on this morning. Is Sister Wanda on this morning? Amen. Amen. We are going to go ahead and read our scripture this morning, coming from Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 this morning. And we are going to begin with verse number 1. And after the reading of our scripture on today, then we are going to go to our song of praise, by Brother Al. Amen. Beginning with verse number 1, Luke chapter number 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. I want you in that first verse, underline the word census and underline entire Roman world. Verse 2, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. I want us to underline their own town, their own town. Verse number 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I want us to underline there was no guest room available. Verse number 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you what? Good news." Underline the word good news this morning. Underline good news. "That will cause great joy for all the people." Verse 11. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Verse 12. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Yes, look at verse number 15 this morning. And it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Verse 16, it says, "They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay." Verse 17, "When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised. But Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant." Verse number 20, "As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything that they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said." That is the reading of our foundational scripture this morning, coming from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Amen, amen. Now we will have our song of praise this morning by Brother Al, and we'll be back as we begin to share from this title, "God Orchestrating Redemption Through the Birth of King Jesus."
Amen. "I am thine, O Lord, and I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where that I has died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thine has died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thine has died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Al, leading us in that song, Sister Ruby, leading us in prayer this morning. Again, we want to say good morning to each of you that are joining with us on today. What a beautiful Sunday morning, Sunday, December the 22nd, 2024. This morning, I'm just excited about the sharing of the word on today as we look again from this topic, God orchestrated redemption through the birth of King Jesus. There are some opening comments I would like to make, and if you could capture them in your notes, if possible, and certainly you can listen to the recording after today. I want to share with us the reasons for Jesus coming from heaven to earth. The first was for him to reign as king, as the king, not a king, but the king. We see that in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. The second is to give his life a ransom for many. We see that in Mark chapter 10, verse number 45. Thirdly, is to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 5, and then verses 9 through 10. Somebody may ask the question, Minister, why would he have to come to give his life a ransom for many? Why did he have to come and go to the cross, Calvary, in our place, paying a debt we say that we owed that we could not pay? Well, it goes back to the book of beginnings, back to Genesis chapter number 1. It works its way, and we see in Genesis 1, 26 through 27, the sixth day of the creation, and then the direction that was given to man and woe man as to what tree they were not to eat from. We know there in Genesis chapter 3 that they were disobedient. They ate from the very tree, Sister Ruby, God told them not to. And when they did that, that impacted their relationship with God. Their initial relationship there in Genesis chapter 1 was one of harmony, one of unity, one of peace. There was no schism, there was no conflict, there was no chaos. But once they did what God said not to do, disobedience entered in, sin entered in, which brought about, Pastor Reggie, the separation of man and God. I want to say something this morning. Even before the foundation of the world, God had already put in a rescue plan for us. I was sharing with a group earlier this week, and I asked them how many of them could swim, were great swimmers. And what I said was, I'm not the best swimmer, and if someone was out there drowning, Pastor Reggie, calling out for help, 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 please help, I would not be the one that you would send in. I would not be the one, Brother Av, that could be the rescuer because I can barely swim myself. But what God did, what do I mean by that? God could not send the swimmer by the name of Abraham. He could not send the swimmer by the name of David, King David. He could not send the swimmer by the name of Joseph, because each one of those swimmers were also separated from God's sin. We inherited a sin nature from our parents there in the garden. So what God does is he loves us, Sister Ruby, in this lesson this morning. When every time I think about Christmas now, I think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. When I think about Christmas, I think about the greatest gift that was ever given, and it was given by God. He gave us his only. He gave us his son, who paid a debt that he did not owe, but we owed. And God shows us love. That's the greatest gift. And the greatest gift we can give during this Christmas season and any other season, 365, sometimes 366 days, we can give this gift of Jesus. Yeah, yes, yes. That's the reason why he came, because of what had occurred, the relationship that was broken between man and God. Let me say something else to us as kingdom citizens, my brothers and sisters this morning, that Jesus Christ was born king. There was no coronation, a big ceremony that to make him king. He was born king. Here's the second thing, Brother Al, we have to keep in mind, that not only was he born king, but his authority is absolute. His authority is absolute. He was born a ruler, and his territory is both heaven and earth. And as kingdom citizens, as us that are ambassadors for Christ, sons and daughters of God, we need to understand that Jesus was born king. His authority is absolute. He was born a ruler, and his territory is both heaven and earth. Jesus came to extend his heavenly government to earth. Jesus brings the kingdom of God to earth. And we as disciples, we as kingdom citizens, have a responsibility to expand the kingdom of God. This morning, and something else about his kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. His kingdom is a kingdom of forgiveness. And something else we need to understand about his kingdom is that his kingdom is eternal. Yes, yes, yes. Many kingdoms rise and fall, but the kingdom of God never falls, for his kingdom is eternal. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. His authority is absolute. His territory is both heaven and earth, and Jesus brings to earth the kingdom of God. So when we look at this passage of scripture this morning, I want us to understand those prerequisites that he was not elected king. He wasn't made king when he was born there, because when the shepherds got there, they already knew that he was king. When the wise men came, they already knew that he was the King of kings. And it had already been prophesied in the book of Isaiah, had been prophesied in the book of Micah, that the king would be born. Not a king, but the king. So when we look at this passage of scripture this morning, and we look at Micah chapter 5 verses 1 through 6 as it speaks to us about the promised ruler that would come, if Pastor Reggie is in a place, I'm going to ask him if he could read Micah chapter 5 later for us if he's able to. And if not, we will get to that scripture. Michael chapter 5, I want to make sure we got that down this morning, because it talks about a promised ruler, and it talks about the place in which he would be born. And the reason why I bring that to us, Mother Neal, is this, that we must understand it was already prophesied where Jesus would be born. So when we look at this lesson this morning, we're going to see something that comes a little bit clearer to us as we look at prophecy and look at how God uses people to carry it out. Michael chapter 5. Is Pastor Reggie able to read? If not, we're going to read it in your hearing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, sir.
Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, NIV. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. With the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortress, we will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders, who will rule the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie, for reading that scripture. I wanted us to see that the prophecy, Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, speaks to us about a promised ruler. A promised ruler, one that will rule the nation. And it tells us out of Bethlehem that ruler would come. He won't have to be, as I say, anointed ruler or some big ceremony to make him ruler, for he will be born in that position. Jesus born in Bethlehem. And it says, even though Bethlehem, you are one of the smallest towns in the nation of Judah, but the Lord will choose one of your people to rule the nation. This lets us know that Jesus came out. We know that he was born there in Bethlehem. And we see the prophecy here that was given in Micah about the birth of Jesus and where he would be born. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Reggie. So as we open the scripture up this morning in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, I want to remind us as well, write down Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. And I just want to give you a little bit of background before we open up this lesson even more. We've read it many a times, but just a little bit more background. We also see in Matthew chapter 18, verses 24, we see the birth of Jesus. And we see it whereas that the angel comes to Joseph, Pastor Reggie, and he speaks to him, because after Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, and him being a just man, he wants to put her away quietly. and the angel comes to him, and he tells him that the angel said to Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. And then after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24 speaks to us from the perspective of when Jesus was about to be born. We know that Joseph was engaged to Mary. We know prior to their marriage, he finds out that Mary is pregnant. The angel comes and tells him, Joseph, she is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, marry her, and Joseph does this. We also know there in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, is that in verse 25, it lets us know that the marriage was not consummated until after the birth of Jesus. And Joseph was obedient. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of humility. And then he did exactly what the angel said, name him Jesus. And we see that in verse number 25, because it says, then Joseph named him Jesus. So I want to give us a little bit more. We got Michael chapter 5, where we see the prophecy there. We have Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, where we see the prophecy there. We see when we get over in Matthew, we see where the child is born, the king is born, Jesus is there. We see this morning here in Luke chapter 2. Again, keep in mind, why did he come? Why did he come? And when we know why he came, then we can better understand what our role and responsibility must be. So let's go. When we look in verse number 1, and I'm going to back up just a little bit, if you don't mind, this morning. Go to Luke chapter 1. Back up to Luke chapter 1 this morning as we set the foundation for this. Luke chapter 1, and we're getting there. And when you see there in Luke chapter 1, look at verse number 26. Luke 1, verse 26, and it says, 1 month later, God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin by the name of Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said, you are truly blessed. The Lord is with you. Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. Then the angel told Mary, don't be afraid. God is pleased with you. And you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. That's why when I initially opened up this morning, as we talk about the kingdom of God, it tells us here that the kingdom will never end. It's an eternal kingdom, that Jesus will be the ruler there, that Jesus will be the king that is there. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I am not married. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months, she will have a son. Nothing. I want us to look at verse number 37. Nothing is impossible for God. Verse 38, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said. And the angel left her. When we come to where we are this morning, we see how Mary and Joseph moved to Bethlehem. But we have to go back and look at the visitation of the angel Gabriel to Mary, being between the ages, age possibly of 14 to 17, the angel, what he said to her, telling her not to be afraid, that God was pleased with her. And isn't that what we want God to be? We want to be with God, is that God is pleased with her and with us. So God said it to her in verse number 30, Sister Gloria. And then in verse 31, listen, you will become pregnant and you will have a baby boy and you will name him Jesus. Isn't it? Look at the amazement here. Look at it. He tells her, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a boy. He's going to be named Jesus. But here's the other thing. He tells her that he will be great. And people will call him the Son of the Most High God. Notice this, how the angel begins to tell Mary, not only will he rule, not only will he be king, but he will be great. And I want us to understand this morning, all God is calling us to do is be available. Notice what Mary said in verse 38. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said. And the angel left her. My question this morning is, are we as ambassadors for Christ, a part of the kingdom of God, can we say this morning, I am the Lord's servant, and let it happen as you have said? For us to position ourselves as kingdom citizens, as ambassadors, knowing we are part of a kingdom that is eternal, a kingdom that is a kingdom of peace, love, forgiveness. Can we be submitted, surrendered, and walk in obedience and say, I am the Lord's servant. And Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Notice Mary's humility. Notice Mary's willingness to walk in obedience. Even though she did not understand all of it, even though she realized the position now, the risk, the position she's in now, that she's not married, she's young, she is engaged. But notice what she says, unlike Zechariah. When we read about Zechariah and his doubt that he had, that his wife, because he was old and she was old, whether or not they could have a child. But notice what Mary says. This need to be our mantra for 2025. Lord, I am your servant. And whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, I will do it. That's what Mary do. Mary shows me this morning what it means to be have confidence in God, what it means to be obedient to God, what it means to truly sing that song, I surrender all. Have thine own way, Lord. She teaches us this morning that principle of surrendering, that principle of obedience, that principle of humility. So here we go. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant. Let this thing you have said happen to me. Right there in verse number 38 in Luke chapter 1. So when we go over to Luke chapter 2, and we notice in verse number 1, that Caesar Augustus had sent out an order that everyone's name must be put on a list. What this was called is a census. Yes, a census. And a little bit about Caesar Augustus this morning. Caesar Augustus, number one, was a part of preparing the way for Jesus. Yes, Uncle John, when we look at this lesson even more, Caesar Augustus was a part of it. Just as John the Baptist was a part of preparing the way for Jesus, so was Caesar Augustus. Something else about Caesar Augustus, for those that are taking note, he was just a tool in the hand of God. He was a tool that God used to bring about what had already been prophesied in Michael chapter 5, that Jesus, the ruler that will be born, was going to be born in Bethlehem. Here's something else about Caesar Augustus that I found out, is his name originally was Octavian, O-C-T-A-V-I-A-N. That was his original name. His grandmother was the sister of Julius Caesar. So somebody said, well, gosh, the reason why I'm giving you this is this is actual history, and these are real events that we are talking about this morning. This is not a once upon a time story or some fantasy story. This is real. So Caesar Augustus, original name was Octavian. His grandmother was the sister of Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar adopted Octavian as his son. And so he became an official heir of Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, within the year, was killed, passed away. And this means Octavian eventually became the sole ruler of the Roman world. And he took the title of Caesar Augustus. He became emperor of Rome. No longer was Rome a republic governed by laws. It became an empire that was governed by an emperor. So we have two kingdoms here. You have the Roman kingdom, and you have the kingdom of God. Jesus came as the ruler of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that would be eternal, a kingdom that would have a king who was over both territories of heaven and earth. So he becomes Caesar Augustus, Mother Cora, and he wanted to become emperor. And emperor means I'm in charge. I'm the big man here on the block. There are no other kingdom. This is not going to be ruled as a republic by laws. I'm the emperor. Whatever I say goes. Whatever I tell you to do, that's what you're going to do. So Caesar Augustus, that we see it right there in verse number one. He sends out this order that everyone's name must be put on the list. Why was the census done, Sister Ruby? It was done so that they could account for the people, yes, but it was some other reason, Pastor Reggie. It was so that they could efficiently and effectively tax everyone. That means, guess what? Money. Caesar Augustus was one who was a big builder. He enjoyed building big buildings and palaces and mansions, as well as the people who protected the Roman government, the soldiers, the armies, all of their equipment had to be paid for. And to pay for all of this, they came up with the census. It was not just simple record keeping to go get your name written down and who all the people was that lived in your house, which they do today. But the scripture said Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And how would you get a couple, Joseph and Mary, Mary being far along in her pregnancy, how would you get this couple to leave Nazareth where they are and travel 80 to 90 miles? That was the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem. How would you get them to travel that far with Mary being that far along in her pregnancy and going to a place where they would have to put their lives in danger because of the rocky terrain, because of the bandits, because of the bears, because of the wolves, and because of the danger that they could get themselves or be presented with? But notice this. This is how God orchestrated for them to be able to leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house of David. Bethlehem was the home of David before he became king. And because Joseph was of the lineage of David, that's the reason why he had to go to Bethlehem. See, when you read the scripture, it says you had to go to your home seat, your home seat of your ancestors. And Joseph was from the lineage, and his ancestor was David. And David's home seat, the place where he would be counted at, would have been Bethlehem. So that's why Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. God is orchestrating. And just as he orchestrated this, he's orchestrating your life as well. So Caesar Augusta may have thought he had a hand in this, but he did. God was using Caesar Augusta as a tool in his hand to carry out the Micah chapter 5, carry out the Isaiah chapter 9, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That's how they got there. They got there. Because of this, because they had to go. They had to go to their own seat so that they could be counted for. Let's keep on going. So you notice this, the census, this decree. You notice why they did the census, what the money was going to be used for. And it says in verse 3, and everyone went to their own town to register. Their own town. That's what puts Joseph in Bethlehem. Again, because he is of the lineage of David, and David's home seat was Bethlehem before he became king. Let's keep going this morning. So notice what it says. So they everyone travels to their hometown to have their name put on the list. So look at verses 4 and 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because that is the house, as I said earlier, the lineage of David, and David, before he became king, that's where he lived. That's why they had to go to Bethlehem. He went there, and he registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a baby. The angel had already told Mary. The angel Gabriel told her that God has found favor with you. God is pleased with you. You will become pregnant, and you're going to have a baby, and you're going to name him Jesus. Notice this. Notice all, we see all of this, what had been said by the angel. We see it coming to pass. He went there and he registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be what? Born. While they were there. And I want you all to see something. Remember again the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem. The terrain, the risk that was there. But notice this, their transportation was not a car. Their transportation was not a coach. Their transportation was not a wagon. But here she is traveling on a donkey, traveling on the rocky terrain, traveling day. Because based on this, as you go back and look at it, it took, they said, well, a normal person could probably cover 20 miles a day. But because she was pregnant, because of the terrain, it took them a little bit longer from Galilee, from where they live in Nazareth, to get to Bethlehem. But notice this, she never turned around. She never gave up. She kept on pressing. She kept on persevering. This morning, will we be like Mary? Will we be the servant? Say, Lord, I am your servant. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep on pressing. Notice Joseph again, Brother Al, a man of integrity, a man of compassion, a man that cared, a man that walked in obedience. Notice this. Let's keep going. So while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, meaning she had children after Jesus. It says, and she wrapped him in cloth, and you read in other translations, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And this was an indication when the angel went to the shepherds and told them, this is how you're going to know who he is. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, but here's going to be the defining moment. You're going to find him laying in a manger. You're going to find him laying in a feeding trough. Notice this morning. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler that is spoken of in Micah chapter 5, the wonderful counselor. See him in Isaiah chapter 9. Here he is. Born. Notice how humble, the humble beginning, knowing where he is. Let's keep going. I want to show you something. And there she gave birth. She wrapped him in the cloth. She placed him in a manger, a feeding trough, because there was no guest room available for them. Some say that when they were traveling there, that, you know, you have relatives in that place. And I started thinking about this, Uncle John. Now, here Joseph is. He's traveling to his ancestors' home there in Bethlehem and possibly having kin there, relatives that are there. But notice, you all, there were a whole lot of other people that was traveling to Bethlehem as well, that took up the rooms, the hotels that may have been there. They called them inns. The places to stay, for us, the Red Roof Inn, the Marriott's, the Ramada Inn, all of those places did not have any room for them. Notice this. My question, and I know that pastors all over ask this question, have you made room for Jesus in your heart and in your mind? Or is our mind so cluttered with the buying, with the commercialism, with the decorations, with the gifts to make sure we find the perfect gift? Have we cluttered? Have we drowned out Jesus by listening to all the music that's being played? And the question this morning, have we made room for Jesus? Have we filled that place where he should be with distraction? Have we filled that place with anxiety? Have we filled that place with worry? Have we filled that place with wondering how this and that? Notice this morning that it says right, because there was no guest room available for them. Have we made room for Jesus? Or have we filled ourselves with so much of distraction, so much of this, so much of that we have forgotten about Jesus? We have forgotten about what the real meaning of Christ, what the real meaning of being a disciple of Christ, because this is a job we are on every day, not just one day of the year, but every day. Notice this. And there were shepherds living out in the field. Now, we have seen the first part, Luke, the physician, Luke, the companion of Paul. We see that he's shown us and he shared with us how they got to Bethlehem, how Jesus was born in Bethlehem, how it was carried out, how Mary and Joseph got there. 80 miles on a donkey, 80 miles sometimes walking. 80 miles, sometimes feet aching in pain, the baby moving on the inside. But yet and still, Mary and Joseph kept their eye because they remembered, Mary remembered what the angel Gabriel told her. One is, don't be afraid. Secondly, God is very pleased with you. But she also remembered, Uncle John, the commitment that she made. Have we forgotten about the commitment we made to the Lord? We said, I'm going to serve you till I die. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. Have we forgotten the commitment we said that I decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. No matter who else don't go, I'm going to go. Have we forgotten about the commitment that we have made? Let's keep going. Notice it says, so now we turn to looking at the shepherds. And it says that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. These shepherds were considered to be outcasts. They were the lowest of the low. But notice the Lord. The Lord lets me know. He says, I came to serve, not to be served. I came for those that were on the outside. I came for those that were sinners. I came for those that were downtrodden. I came for those that were outcasts. notice that the angel does not go and knock on the door of the king of Caesar Augustus. Notice it doesn't go and knock on the door of King Herod. But notice who the angel goes to. And it lets me know as a disciple of Christ, as an ambassador of Christ, that there are people that we cannot pass by just because they look the way they look, smell the way they smell, or don't have this or that. But let me tell you, Jesus came for the rich. He came for the poor. He came for the downtrodden. He came for those that are in Washington, D.C. as well. He came for those that are in Asia, Africa, Australia, no matter where they are. So this word this morning lets me know that I have to make room in my heart so that I can carry out the mandate that God has put upon my life, on each of our lives, Matthew 28:19-20. That is our purpose. That's what we are supposed to be doing. Let's keep going. So notice these shepherds, the outcast, the downtrodden, the one that people don't care about. Notice, and they were there keeping their flock. That was the job of the shepherd. David, before being a king, he was a shepherd boy. So he knew what it was like to care for sheep. He knew what it was like to use the rod. He knew what it was like to use the staff. And notice this. That night, the shepherds were there in the field, and they were doing what they do, watching their sheep. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them. Don't you know there was some fear that came upon them? They out there doing what they do, a mundane job to us and to others, but they were caring for the sheep. And you know what? And then the angel comes and tells them, Pastor Reggie, you are going to see the Lamb of God. They saw lambs in the natural. They saw lambs in the physical. But notice this. They get a visitation from the angel that tells them, go, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you some good news. And he tells them in verse 11, today your Savior was born in David's town of Bethlehem, and he is the Christ, and he is the Lord. Notice this. Your Savior was born, our Savior, born King, the Messiah, who God sent to go to Calvary in our place. When I look at the birth of Jesus, I can't help but see Calvary. I can't help but to see redemption. I can't help but to see the shed blood. I can't help but see him on the cross. I can't help but to see his burial. But, oh, I can't help but to see his resurrection as well. So today, the angel says, your Savior was born in David's town, and he is Christ the Lord. Meaning, when it says Lord, what that means this morning is he has absolute authority. He doesn't share his authority with anyone. He doesn't share his throne with anyone. Yes, Caesar Augustus thought he had it going on because he was the emperor. He was in charge of the Roman Empire. But he didn't know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had been born there in Bethlehem. Notice verse 12. This is how you will know him. And this is what the angel tells the shepherd. This is how you're going to be able to find this baby. Yes, he's going to be wrapped in cloth. All the babies were wrapped in cloth. But here's the main thing you're going to see that's going to be different. He's going to be lying in a feeding box. He's going to be lying in a manger. He's going to be lying in a feeding trough. And all the angels were praising God, saying, give glory to God in heaven. And on earth, that's what we ought to be doing right now. And definitely as we gather family that will come in from all over, we should be giving glory to God in heaven and on earth. And we have to understand that Jesus brought heaven to earth, establishing his kingdom both in heaven and on earth. And let there be peace to the people who please God. Right there in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. So when we look at Luke 16 and 17, notice what the shepherds do. They get in a hurry. They don't procrastinate. They don't sit around and wonder, what did we actually see? They get in a hurry because they have received good news. What do you do when you get good news? You want to share it with others. And they had received the good news of the gospel. They had received, Sister Gloria, that they had not been left out because they were the outcast, because they were looked down on, because they were the low ones. They had received good news that they were too included. Notice this. They get in a hurry, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby. They find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then the shepherds went back. And notice that before they go back, they are sharing the good news. They are sharing what they have experienced. They share the good news. They bring joy to others. And when they go, it says when the angels left them and they had gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, as I say, they got in a hurry. Will you get in a hurry to tell somebody about Jesus? Or will you keep your mouth closed? Will you say, well, they having a good time over there, and I don't want to disturb their good time? Let me tell y'all something. We don't know the day nor the hour when he's coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour when he may call our name. I would much rather for that person to have a good time eternally than have a good time in a short span of time. What about you? What about you? So they hurried off. And as I say, they found Mary, they found Joseph there. And the shepherds went, and they went out, and they began to share the good news of what they had experienced. But let me say this morning, when the shepherds went there, they went one way. But Lord, look at how they left. They left and praising God and thanking him for everything that they had seen, everything that they had heard, and everything that they had experienced. My question this morning, will you do the same? You're not the same because you were once walking in darkness, and now you're walking in the light. You once was walking hostile and strangers to God. But now you're walking as sons and daughters. Yes, this morning, when you meet Jesus, you're not the same. It says that these angels, they said that these, when the angels left these shepherds, that they said as the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. And everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said. But again, notice this. They did not return the way they left their original when they left to go to Bethlehem. Have you been changed? Do you know the angel? Do you know your name is written in the book of life? Have you been changed to the point that you're like Mary? Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Yes, this morning, when we look at God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus, we got an application that we can make to our own lives. Will you go and tell the story? Will you be used by God? Are you willing to tell somebody about Jesus? No matter what the distance is, notice Mary and Joseph, they go the distance. They didn't send a letter and say, well, we can't go. My wife is pregnant. She's about to have a baby, and we can't make it. No, she goes the distance. Think about it. Are we willing to go the distance? Are we willing to go the distance to bring forth a message of good news? Are we willing? Are we willing to tell the world that Jesus lives? What distractions do we need to remove in order for us to hear better from the Spirit of God? Are there some distractions? Are there some distortion on the line? Some things that you need know you need to shed yourself of? Are we willing to be like the shepherds, Pastor Kuiper, to drop everything to see Jesus, to carry a message? Are we willing? They dropped everything. They left their sheep. They left their livelihood to go see Jesus. And then to come back and share it with somebody else. What distraction do you need to remove in order for you to hear better the Spirit of God speaking to you? What steps will you take to be attentive to God's directives, even if they are highly disruptive to your plans? Sometimes we have plans to go here and do this or do that, and God said, I need you to go over there. I need you to take this person this. How many of us are willing to put ourselves in a position like Mary said, I am the Lord's servant? How many of us are willing to take the message to the downtrodden? How many of us are willing to lead others to Christ? How and what are we going to do during this Christmas season, this time? I want to say this morning, every day needs to be Christmas. Every day. For the world needs this message that the King is born and his kingdom is eternal, that his authority is absolute, and that he was born a ruler, and that he brought the kingdom of heaven to earth for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Dale, for that powerful lesson. Hallelujah. We thank God for the King that was born, the ruler that has come into our lives. We thank you for that word, so powerful, so powerful. To know that Mary's commitment, and you encourage us to be committed. I'll just open it up for anybody who has comments. If somebody's on the line who would like to comment, we open up the line for your comments now. Amen, Sister Mother Cora, anybody on the line?
Praise God for the word this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Doctor, for the word. It's so important for each one of us to be obedient to the word of God. Because Mary and Joseph were obedient. Because God already had a plan set up. They not knowing what the plan was, but they were obedient to God's word. And they followed the plan to the T. And that everything ended up the way that God wanted it to be. But sometimes people have a way of changing things to their desire. First thing, you know, they could have, like, made all kind of excuses and not follow the plan of God. But that's why one has to be, I have to be connected enough to God so that I can follow his plan, that I can be obedient unto him, not standing there deciding for myself when God has already made the decision for me. So I thank you for the word this morning. Amen.
Amen. Obedience is the key. Amen. Thank you, Mother Corey, for those comments. I know Dr. Chip is going to make some. Anybody else want to make a comment? Anybody else on the line want to make a comment about this powerful word in this time of the season? Remind us of the travel to Bethlehem. Couldn't find a room in the inn and ended up where they were. But God had a plan to fulfill what the prophets had said. And thank you so much, Dr. Dale, for bringing that out. And I will say this. When I think about the shepherd, you were talking and you were ministering to him, and I thought about the shepherd and angel came to them, and they were out there, and they were the first ones to come see. And I talk about David being a shepherd boy.
Yeah.
He being a shepherd, and he being out in the fields tending to his sheep. And the Lord came to them, the angel, to tell them first, and they went into the city. It just kind of spoke to my heart, just a little special side thing, that, hey, maybe God said, well, David was a shepherd. This is Bethlehem. It's all tied to David. It's all tied to his ministry. It's all tied to the king. And he was a shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd. Amen. So I just started time as you were talking about shepherds, just connecting Mother Court, just connecting all the shepherding. And we become shepherds ourselves. Shepherds
Amen.
To others who God has entrusted in our care. Not just to be pastors. We talk about pastors and being under shepherds and things. But all of us have someone, even if it's our children.
Yeah.
It's our grandchildren. Yeah. Kids that we come in contact with. People that we become their, you say mentorship is what it. But shepherding them in some way means we get more involved with their lives. To try to help them along this journey. And I thank God for the ministries that are out there that reach out to the people. Dr. Deb, the ministry that you have, and other people on the line that have ministry. So that's my takeaway. I'm tying the shepherding all together. That was something I got that I wanted to share. Amen. Any
well, you know,
comments? Go
amen.
Ahead. Go ahead, Mother. Go ahead, Mother.
Now, excuse me to cut. But, you know,
no.
What I'm seeing this is that they went to the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
They didn't go running out to the king and to the buckheads and the ones that live up on the hill.
All right.
They came to the lowest of the low and to let them know this is not for those up all only for those up on the, that lives up on the hill. This is for the ones that's down in the valley that need to come up out of the valley.
Yeah.
So when by them going to the shepherd, they know the shepherds are dedicated people.
Yeah.
Because they look what they do. They out there all by themselves, alone, day in and day out watching over the sheep. So that's a prime example right there that they will look out. God is saying, I know they'll look out for my people because they're looking out for my people by looking out for the sheep. If they take care of sheep like this, wow, look what they'll do for my people.
Yes,
so
Lord.
That just, you know, God doesn't go to the ones that's standing there, you know, with the red bottom shoes on and all that. He goes to the one that has
Amen.
A paper bag in their shoe.
Come on now.
Amen. On the court, my imagination kind of run away from y'all kind of feeling. I just imagine those shepherds out there in the field, like you said, going to them. And they probably knew David was a shepherd. They probably heard about David, the stories and stuff, and they knew David. And for the angels to come to them and to frighten them, they're wow. And I could just imagine them in awe.
Yeah.
They heeded to it. They didn't hesitate, and they went. You know, also you talk about the lowly people, and I think about Jesus when he inaugurated his public ministry, and he read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes,
he's anointed
yes.
me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He's for everybody, but he went to the lowly first so he could connect with them because they always get overshadowed.
Right.
Lift him up first. Amen. God bless you. Let me stop. I'm going to get carried away again. God help me. Merry Christmas. Let me say that before I get too far in. Yes, anybody go, Mother Cora? I'm good.
Go ahead for somebody else. Leave room for others to come on in and share.
Hey, man, just excited about this time of the year. I'm just excited.
It's a blessing.
Listen, I thank God for teachers who teach the little kids, the little sheep.
The people
who become teachers, if they don't look at it as a ministry, they're missing the power of what they do. A vocation is good, but to love them. Listen, I'm my testimony, my highlight of this week coming up to Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody. Listen.
Praise God.
You know, Friday started off as a rough day. One of my grandkids missed the bus for school, so I had to take him to school. I went over there and got him, said, "You going to school?" Took him to school, dropped him off, left. Told the teacher to text her, say, "Call me," because I want to let her know what happened that morning. You know, what was going on with him. So she called me. Make this long story short, she called me, and I pick at the teacher. She picked at me sometimes. I said, "Listen, I'm going to come over there to y'all class this morning. I'm going to come over there and sing some Christmas carols." And she said, "Come on, yeah, you can come." I said, "Oh, wait a minute." She called my bluff. "Don't say something if you don't mean it." That's what I must say. Don't say something if you don't care. She said, "Come on." I said, "Well, you know, I can't sing that well, but I don't mind coming over." This was all spontaneous. No plan. And so I've been singing songs to myself all week. You know, I did it to my staff at work. I just started singing to them. They probably thought I was crazy. But I want to get into the jovial. This is the time that we special celebrate the birth of Jesus. We cover the scripture text. We sing. So long story short, I got there and didn't know what exactly I was going to do. I said, "I'm not going to bore these kids with me trying to sing." So I asked them, did they know some Christmas songs? They responded. Got to remember, this is a special ed class. So kids have learning disabilities in that class. They're not general education. So I'm talking to them, and they had about 12 of them, so in the room, in the classroom. And I was like, I was terrified. Ain't nobody been scared of little kids? I know y'all ladies on the line, y'all know how to handle them. But the little ones, I didn't know. They were about 10 years old, most of them in that age group, 9, 10. And so they were sitting there intentively. To make the long story short, I had an opportunity to talk and let them share, went around and all of them tell me their names. And one of them was named Uriah. I said, "You Uriah the Hittite." One of them named Ariel, one of the angels. You know, Jeremiah, two Jeremiah. One of them was my grandson, Jeremiah. There was another Jeremiah. And I was listening to the names and everything. And one of the kids, when he came up with a Christmas song, he said, "Feliz Navidad." I said, "Man, nobody know that song." Anyway. I'm just having fun. What I'm saying is that I went there on a whim to minister to these little sheep, if you will, thinking that I was going to be doing it. And guess what? I was trying to bless them. I just happened to have some candy, brought them some candy, everything. But guess what? I got blessed.
Amen.
It blessed
Always.
My day to the point that I can't stop talking about it because I saw God in the short time that I spent with those children. We have to give of ourselves, do the work of the ministry. I don't know what that is all the time for you. It may be different for you. I'm just saying. But I have to admire the teacher. I said, I've enjoyed it, and I'll never forget the teacher said, "Go around." She went around. She said at the end, "Y'all say something good to Mr. Kuiper." Because, you know, she don't know what she was saying. And so he went around. Each kid said something nice to me. I said, "Look at this."
Mm.
And they would help me. They say, "You did good." they gave me words of encouragement. They gave me words of encouragement.
Amen.
Then when it got to the last one, he said, "Mr. Kuiper, I don't know who told you you couldn't see, but you did real good." I said, "You my friend. You're my friend."
All right.
That was Ariel. Just a good blessing. You know, and I just didn't know what God was going to do, but I just walked out on faith. And it was a blessing because of the strength of the Spirit of the Lord. And we talked about Jesus. We talked about him being born again. It was an opportunity. And I just thank God for that. That's my testimony today. God blessed me. I thought I was going to do something, but I got blessed.
Always.
Serving.
Always.
That was so. So shepherds in the field.
Yes.
People in the city. Let's just keep doing the work of the Lord. The little things that bless us. it blessed me. And I, like I said, I admire the teachers because I don't know if I could be with them all day. Because I'm going to be honest on the line. I don't know if I can handle the kids all day. But just to be in there and see how the teachers have taught them and ministered to them in the situations that they were. And I'll say this, and I'm going to quit on that. One little kid, when they were going around telling their names, got the one little kid, he wouldn't tell his name. He just hunched his shoulders. So the teacher tried to get him to tell me his name. He hunched his shoulder again. I said, I know your name. So I hunched my shoulders back in. It's your name. I hunched my shoulders back in. You know, and he kept looking at me. But I don't know if he ever told us. I can't remember if he ever told us a name. But just the joy of interacting with them and seeing God move and just how they wanted to sing. And we sung together songs that they knew. And I just thank God for this. So anyway, that's my testimony, Mother Corliss. Anybody on the line, amen, brother Al, everybody on the line, so God bless y'all. I don't know what else God's going to do, but we walk by faith, not by faith. I'm going to try to see what he's going to do today. He's already doing something. Listen, I got an opportunity to wake up and some things happen. Now I'm on the line, I hear this powerful word of the Lord reminding me in Luke chapter 2 the dedication that Mary had, her sacrifice and obedience of Mary and Joseph. All these things remind us of us because the body.
Yes, yes.
How Christ came to earth. The body, yes. Christmas. Yeah, Christmas is every day because we celebrate Jesus every day. He is Christ's mass, Christ's mass.
Mm.
He became a body, Emmanuel. God was. Anyway, let me stop. God bless y'all today.
Amen.
God bless you. Looking forward
Glory
to
God.
More comments. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And
Dr.
you're
Dale.
So right. You're so right. You know, as you were talking, several words came to mind. One is overlooked but handpicked by God. The shepherds were overlooked by the world, but they were handpicked by God to take forth a life-changing message for the world. And if you think about it, they were immigrants. They were immigrants. Mm. And when we look at immigrants in our country today, when we look at people that are different skin color or ethnic group or whatever, notice that the shepherds were overlooked, but they were handpicked by God to carry a life-changing message. The other thing is, again, they were responsible for caring for sheep, for lambs that were being born. But notice what God allowed them to see is that they got the chance to meet the Lamb of God. And for us as disciples of Christ, we have to have a renewed heart and mind. The Word of God, the Constitution of God, has to transform our minds to understand we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Mary shows me how to carry out. She carried out her mission. Her mission, her role, her responsibility. Joseph carried out his mission, his role, and his responsibility. And that does not leave me in a position of not having one. I am responsible because I have a renewed mind, a renewed heart. And Christ lives in me. I am supposed to be a shepherd, carrying life-changing messages to those who feel left out, overlooked, less than. That's my role and responsibility, just as it was for you, your little children that were there. They need it, and I guarantee you, you know, if they see you out somewhere, they'll tell their parents, that's that man that came to our class, and he was singing Christmas, and he was telling us about Jesus. We have to understand planting the seeds. You don't have to worry about how big it is or how large the group is. Do a one-on-one, an audience of one.
Yeah.
Notice what God will do. We got work to do. We can read the Christmas story, but the question is, how am I going to apply it? What are you going to do? What did you put inside your Christmas cards this year? Did you put a scripture? Did you put Romans 10:9-10? Did you put about a renewed mind? And did you tell them, encourage them to stay on the battlefield? Did you tell them to continue to trust God? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this word today should stir us to know we got work to do. Those that are overlooked, for God handpicked them to carry a life-changing message. He took nobodies, made them into somebodies, that they could go and tell everybody that Jesus lives and that Jesus saves. Amen.
Amen.
If no one else this morning, I'm going to ask Uncle John. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
I'm blessed.
We are triumphant, victorious.
Amen.
Brought a message this morning about a wonderful child. That wonderful child is named Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we ought to be on the rejoicing this morning, seem like.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is a message, and the best way to get a lot out of it is put yourself in their shoes.
All right.
We want to thank each and everyone for their part in the devotion this morning, Psalm 27 by Minister Deborah. Thank you, and our prayer, Sister Ruben, thank you, and reading of the word again, Miss Minister Deborah, and song of praise, Brother Al, draw me near. And during this Christmas season, you know, seem like, man used to say at the job that he wished every day was Christmas. people began to act so kind and uncontrolled. How you doing? Have a Merry Christmas. See, he wished every day was Christmas if people going to act like that. But I'll be reading a couple of verses here. Verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. My thought this morning, are you prepared for when these things shall come to pass? Are you prepared for when these things shall come to pass? First, let me ask you, are you ready for Christmas? I'm talking about the real Christmas, the one that brought Christ into the world. You know, there have been some talk that maybe they got Jesus' birthday wrong. That it could have been another time. But as a farmer, I believe they got it right. As a farmer, there's a planting time and there's a harvest time. You can try to change his birthday, but you can't change the season. I'm going to let you rest on that. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch their flock by night. A shepherd's job wasn't a job that everyone desired.
Mm-mm.
You may have been looked down upon as a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk didn't want you to come in their company. The job didn't come with a whole lot of benefits. It wasn't your typical 9-to-5 job. No safe thing is quitting time. Regardless of the weather, because rain was the real thing. Long as the sheep needed you, you were there day and night. Pastor Kuiper, let me ask you, are you sure you want to be a shepherd?
All right, sir.
You make a good shepherd. But being a modern-day shepherd, you have to be willing to satisfy God in order to take care of the sheep, even the one that goes astray. Looking for strays this morning, one that has strayed away from our Lord and Savior. Seemed like Mary and Joseph would have been more prepared. But they had gone to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. But you didn't have to pay taxes until you get your breath of your crop in. And this was the season. Gather your crop in. You may change your birthday, but you can't change the season. Seemed like Mary and Joseph would have been more prepared. But by Mary being pregnant, a pregnancy can always wait. But in Mary and Joseph days, when the community found out that a woman was pregnant, they would come and bring their gifts, dance in the street. If it was a boy, this could last about 2 weeks, trying to see if he was the one who had been spoken of by the prophet, or the one that was to come. But if it was a girl, they would take their stuff and go back home. Mary and Joseph,
my Lord,
there wasn't no room in the inn. If you had been there, would you have gave up your room? But one day, we all gonna get our chance. You see, the whole world has been pregnant, being pregnant by sin. Today she shall deliver when Christ return again. But we don't know the day or the hour when he shall return. I'm asking you this morning, are you prepared for these things when they shall come to pass? This morning.
Amen, 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 amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Ready for that great
day.
So tell me, who shall
be able to stand?
You better than him. Get you ready for that
great day.
Better let him get you ready at a great
day.
Who shall
be able to stand?
Amen.
Amen, amen,
woo!
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Wow. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Uncle John, Pastor Reggie. I tell you, Uncle John really brings it and puts it highlights it to us and help us to even see things even the more from the Word of God. And we thank him this morning and thank Mother Cora and Mother Nia, all of you who join with us on Sunday mornings. You all don't know, it's an awesome time for me as I study the Word and as I look so forward to hear your feedback from the Word. And I'm just thankful. Thank you so much again, Uncle John, for bringing that to us on today, this morning. Much, much needed. Thank you. Are there any other announcements for this morning? Any other announcements that we need to be made aware of? Sister Ruby, tonight?
Pastor Atside, and if you all know her, she's going to be on fire. So please come out and join us this evening on the fifth Sunday. For those that you all can make it, we will be downtown. Our service will be brought next Sunday from downtown. Well, you still can do the call-in if you're not in Macon. But if you are in Macon, please come out and join us. It is just so, it's good now, y'all. It's good when we're on this line. But when you get to hear it in person, it's just something else. I tell you, I'm just hoping and praying that I will be in a position so I can get down there next Sunday.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Ruby, for reminding us of next Sunday. We will get the call in information out to everyone. We're going to get that information out to you. Uncle John, you will represent us online next Sunday, unless you are here in Macon. You will, as you did last fifth Sunday, you will represent just as you do each Sunday. So we certainly look forward to you being on the line, all of us on the line. But again, I will get the call-in information. The information is going to be different than our regular call-in. So we're going to get that out to you. That service starts at 11 o'clock, but we will have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. They have their first, they do theirs at 10, just as we do. We do our service at 10. They do their Sunday school at 10, and then they have a service at 11 o'clock. So you're able to stay on as long as you desire for next Sunday. Mother Cora, I wish you were here that you could partake in some of the food that they're going to serve. They're going to serve a spiritual meal first, and then they're going to serve a physical meal secondly. But we're looking so forward to our fifth Sunday celebration, a church that has reached out to us, and they wanted to be a part of what we're doing. They realize that we are based on the Word of God. Our intent is to do it through 1 Corinthians 13, love, as well as the mandate of Matthew 28, as well as Matthew 25, that we are to feed and we are to clothe and that we are to encourage. So we want to stay aligned to the Word of God. That's what this ministry is about, aligning to the Word of God as kingdom citizens, as ambassadors for Christ, disciples, sons, and daughters. Brother Al, I wish you could join us here in the physical to just experience this opportunity. Mother Cora has experienced it. As a matter of fact, she's beat Pastor Reggie. She got a chance to come before he did this summer. But we're just looking so forward. Pastor Young is certainly looking forward. He's invited everyone to come. So we're looking for you to be a part of it. Again, you can't be there on the ground. As Sister Ruby said, we will provide you the call-in information for that. So be on the lookout for it. If you don't get it, you just give me a call and we'll make sure you have it. 10 o'clock, same time we start, as well as we will have an 11 o'clock special session too. Amen. Again, let's take some lessons from the shepherds on today. Let's take some lessons from the shepherds is that we need to carry a life-changing message, and that since we have met the Lamb of God, let us go forth with renewed minds and a renewed heart that we would tell others that Jesus Christ was born king. His authority is absolute. He was born a ruler. His territory is both heaven and earth. He came from heaven to bring heaven to earth, the government to earth. And remember this, his kingdom is peace, his love is forgiveness, and his kingdom is eternal. So what's my job? My job is this. The world may have overlooked me, but God handpicked me so that I can go and carry the life-changing message just as the shepherds did. When I met Jesus, I'm not the same as I was when I was walking in darkness. For I now walk in light, for I am salt and light to share the marvelous deeds of our Heavenly Father. So let us go. Let's be a Mary committed, as Pastor Reggie said. Let us, as men, be men of integrity, women, women of integrity, and say, I'm going to persevere, that I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll stay surrendered, submitted, and walk in obedience, aligning to the Holy Spirit working in me. Amen. Amen. If no other comments this morning, thank you all again for being here. We're going to close out with a song this morning, and then I'm going to ask Mother Cora to close with prayer. We're going to close with a song, and then we will have prayer by Mother Cora. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, you know he saved this soul of mine. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you know he saved this soul of mine. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you know he saved this soul of mine. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. Oh, you ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Amen. 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 Mother Cora.
Luke 2:14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, Father, we come this afternoon thanking you for allowing us to once again assemble here on this line. Thanking you, Father, for allowing each of us to hear what you are saying to us, that we might be prepared when the day comes that we have to make that answered call. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for each and every one of us. We thank you for your healing, your deliverance. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you most of all for your love, for sending your son into the world to save that which is lost. We thank you, Father, because we know there is no other way but through your Son, by the way of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to comfort us in the times of comforting. We thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for allowing each of us to have a heart to receive your word, and most of all, be obedient to your word. We continue to pray one for another. We continue to love on one another as you have told us to do, but we first have to seek the kingdom of God in order to do this. So we thank you for that, having that kingdom where we can learn from you what we need to do in order to carry out your message that you sent for us to do, and that is to make more disciples. We continue to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it all belong to you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. God bless.
Amen.
Bless.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on today. As Mother Cora said, be blessed. Continue. Remember this, you have a life-changing message. Let us share it. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You all have a blessed, blessed Merry Christmas. I love you all. I'm praying for you all. And I hope to see you soon. God bless you.
Praise God. Amen. Receive. Amen. Receive.
Love you too, dear. Love you too.
Amen.
Uncle John.
Love y'all. Love y'all. Love you. Be blessed. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you all.
Merry Christmas.
Butter.
Merry Christmas, Uncle John, Aunt Laura. Merry Christmas, Pastor Reggie. Merry Christmas, Sister Ruby, Mother Cora, Mother Neil. Merry Christmas, Sister JJ, Sister Gloria. Merry Christmas.
Amen.
That's all right.